G. Ricardo, Josh, and Michael on the airwaves, starting it off with that drink of the day. Just a little banter, then we hit in the topics. This ain't just a segment, nah, we spitting logic and ending it with our final thoughts. Cause this podcast headed straight to the top. Yeah, so get ready, go ahead and sit back. Cause you are now in tune to the Warehouse Rats.
And we're back for another exciting episode of the Warehouse Rats podcast. However, today's going to be a little different because I am the only one here in the studio. Micah and Ricardo are on their first trip together, which sounds way more romantic than it probably is. Or they're just not telling us something, which I'd be offended because it's 2021. You shouldn't be ashamed. So, Ricardo and Micah, how is the trip going?
Micah, you want to go first, honey?
You know what? I'm doing very well, Josh. It's been 4 years in the making to get Ricardo further north than the city of Grand Rapids, which is located in Michigan. Currently, we're in Mackinac City and plan to go all the way to Munising to take in the terrain and beautiful landscape of the wonderful Pictured Rocks.
Ooh. Oh, yes, I feel the same way. I'm a little nervous because I feel that I'm going to uncharted territories. And when you're in a place of uncharted place, you want to kill seagulls and eat a lot of fudge. I'll dive a little bit more into that later on.
Awesome. So we're definitely going to get more into your guys' trip further down as we get further into this episode. But first, of course, we have drink of the day. What are you two drinking?
So right now, I like to kind of, you know, wind down in the late evening with a refreshing beverage, something to recharge with. And what does the best job for myself is a White Claw, which is basically a hard seltzer, which is sparkling water, a hint of alcohol, and a touch of tainted misery blessed by a rabbi, put into a sealed can with only 2 grams of carbs.
Big emphasis on the taint part of that.
True. I am drinking your standard Corona Light. I don't know why I chose it, because usually I don't choose Corona. I just felt like I was at home. Mm-hmm. I went to the liquor store and I said, you know what? I don't feel like having White Claw, and nothing else is really coming to my mind right now, so I'm going to go with feels good, and then I grabbed Corona.
That's fair.
Josh, greets you on this fine Friday evening?
It's a whiskey.
All right. Actually, yes, but what I have in it is 2 shots of whiskey, a shot of cherry liqueur, some lime and lemon juice, and a slice of lime and lemon, and topped it off with a half can of ginger beer.
Whoa.
And let me tell you, this stuff will mess you up, and it's so good.
So what you're trying to tell us is you had a challenging Friday, and one way to recourse that challenge is by getting drunk.
Not necessarily. I mean, if I have 2 or 3 of these, then yes, probably. I figure since today was as muggy as it was, I lost a lot of fluids today. So I figured this is the best way to rehydrate and be ready for tomorrow.
So are you going to be working tomorrow?
Oh, no. No. Oh, okay. I don't know if you knew this, but tomorrow is Saturday.
I do know tomorrow is Saturday, but as a coworker of yours, I would expect you to kind of step up a little bit on taking up my slack.
Well, we will have that discussion off the podcast, and then we will we'll talk about that off podcast.
But we're warehouse rats.
We'll talk about that off podcast.
So honestly, how was work these last 2 days that I haven't been there? I think it was the last time that I saw. I felt like it was getting a little caught up a little bit. Not as crazy.
Yeah. No, it's we had some pretty good help today. The rest of this week we had pretty good help, and we were able to knock out quite a bit of stuff. And
you're welcome.
And we're sitting pretty good. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting you not to be on tens next week. I'll expect you to be only.
We have to be.
Oh, okay. So I'll take that back then.
There you go. Anyways. Anyways, so these White Claws and what you said, Corona Light?
Okay. Yes, Corona Light, because we're on a keto diet.
Right.
Except for all the fudge that I ate today and all the other stuff that I ate. We're not going to worry about that today.
Okay. Did you know that people from Northern Michigan call people from Southern Michigan fudgies?
Really?
Yeah. That's like...
Sounds a little offensive.
Well... It's mostly just because they know who you are because you can't drive in Northern Michigan, or you don't know how to drive in Northern Michigan. And the only people who go to Northern Michigan who don't know how to drive in Northern Michigan are people from Southern Michigan. And so they're called fudgies because they only go up there to get the fudge.
Oh, can you elaborate on what you mean by not being able to drive correctly?
Well, they simply don't know. I'm trying to think. It's 131. It's not 66. 131, I think, takes you all the way to like Petoskey, if I'm thinking correctly.
More or less.
Anyways, one major road will go right through the town that I grew up, and it'll take you right towards Petoskey and stuff like that. So that road is a standard country road where, you know, this posted speed limit is 55. The locals drive significantly faster than that, whereas fudgies will stay closer to the 55 range, and everybody knows, oh, this person is driving the speed limit. They apparently are not from around here. And more times than not, they're heading north to Mackinac, where they're also known for their Mackinac fudge. So, fudgies.
Got it. Josh, with that, as me and Ricardo, unfortunately, by default, identify as fudgies, I will say we passed many locals, and in passing the locals, we turned from fudgies to...
Unfudgies,
and as far as being unfudged, we destroyed our vehicle in the process, literally.
What do you mean, destroy your vehicle?
We were going faster than the posted speed limit, and the transfer case blew up and sprayed differential fluid everywhere.
What?
Yep.
So we are driving with a broken car, hoping to make it to the Upper Peninsula and back home, and we'll reevaluate the situation if we are so fortunate to make it back home.
So a part of your car blew up? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the transfer case. There is fluid all over.
Oh my gosh.
The vehicle. And we are just hoping that this car lasts 3 days to take us another 6 hours around this wonderful state.
Yes, what do you think?
Oh no. That's a little rough, guys.
Well, I think it has a little bit of it has a little bit of something to
adventure.
There you go. It has a little bit more adventure to the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more spice to it. It just makes it more. I don't know. Have you gone on vacation and had certain situations like that where you like, damn, what could go wrong does go wrong? Because I know like my sister, she speaks when she goes on vacation like driving.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something that goes wrong. Like the car either breaks down somehow or there's something that always goes wrong.
I've experienced things going wrong. Now, I haven't had anything go wrong with the car I'm driving, but I've been in a vehicle where things have gone wrong. It's not exciting. It's a bit of a headache, and it's like this doesn't seem worth the trip. But that's also just me, though. So,
well, Josh, me and Ricardo, I speak on my better half, not because we identify as a domestic partnership, but more so as BFFs. Mm-hmm. We encourage you to think with an optimistic outlook, as we chose to do, because we drove all the way up here. It took 4 years to get Ricardo past Grand Rapids, which is only an hour north. He's no longer a fudgy. He is unfudged. And it is my duty to show this man the great state, regardless of if the vehicle needs to be stranded.
Can we stop saying unfudged? Because that, I think that has some implications
what's wrong with being a fudge packer, huh?
Hey, people have to pack the fudge so us fudgies can enjoy the fudge.
That's true. That is very true. Have you ever been to the Mackinac Island before or no?
I have. It has been years, like years, like before I moved from northern Michigan to the southern western part of the state. I think I've been to Mackinac City a number of times. I think I've only been to Mackinac Island like once. We did pass
through Mansalona, and we did.
Did you go to the tank?
We didn't go to the tank. We passed by the tank. I mean, ironically enough, I did have to pee, but we didn't get out. I don't know how you did it because it's right next to fucking the street. So it's like.
In my defense, I was 4, so I didn't really care.
Okay, makes sense.
Oh, Jesus. Well, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with some more travel discussion because we're celebrating Ricardo's cherry popping of him seeing more of our great state. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
We'll be back.
Nope. And we're back.
Yeah, we're black.
Ricardo. So, in the spirit of travel, our Let's Talk About It segment this week is all about travel. So, there's essentially three different questions I have for all of us to discuss. First one, what are your top three places you want to go that are within your budget? So let's say you save for maybe a month or two, and then you know you can afford to go to this place. Top three places. Micah, we'll start with you, bud.
Certainly. So with myself, with this current trip, when I travel, I definitely prefer it by road. There's something that are organic about the road trip experience and driving and seeing the terrain change. So with that, within a budget for myself, when it comes to traveling, ideally it would be a road trip. My top three places would be the Grand Canyon in Arizona, Arches National Park in Utah, and then I'd probably say Yosemite in California. Just because I want to see the Star Trek rock, essentially, that they used for their filming way back when with not David Hasselhoff, but what was his name?
David Hasselhoff was never in Star Trek.
Oh, sorry, that's Baywatch.
totally Matt, different show.
Matt something. He's like the Expedia guy now. I forget his name.
You mean William Shatner?
Yeah, thank you, William.
Matt Shatner. Something.
Yeah, thank you.
They look similar, though.
Yeah, they kind of do. You know, same era. You know, Baywatch, Star Trek. They're the same thing. But, sure. Yeah, those are my three top places. Grand right. Canyon, gosh, just something so vast, like a crater in the earth like that is just, how can you fathom? And you can really see how old the earth is from the Grand Canyon, from the layers, as you go up and down through the terrain.
Mm-hmm.
Each specific rock bed is a specific time period within this, you know, the Earth's history, which is just unfathomable to think about how old the Earth is comparative to, you know, how long Homo sapiens have been, you know, inhabiting this planet and ruining it as well. So definitely enjoy the Grand Canyon hiker as well. When it comes to Arches National Park, it's like a clay storm. Mm-hmm. And it's great for stargazing. So with the Grand Canyon, you get the experience of how old, you know, Earth is. When you go to Arches National Park, you get to stargaze and really see, wow, there's so much more than, you know, this Earth that we're inhabiting. Now, as far as Yosemite goes, it's just an awesome rock, man. And Star Trek was filmed there. I don't really know much about Star Trek, but Star Trek is like, I don't know, something pretty cool that humans did. And it's a big rock. And there's this this Netflix documentary of a guy that climbed it. I think it was called Free Solo. And Free Solo is based on a rock climber that literally climbed Yosemite freehand. Oof. He was not strapped to any sort of safety gear. He literally bare hand, barefoot, and climbed Yosemite and made it to the top, knowing that any bad move, he could literally, you know,
he would be done.
Oh yeah, exactly. And it was years in the making of him scaling this wall with equipment and kind of mapping out a path. Hmm. And he had attempted it three times and quit mid climb just because his mental state was blocked. But then he finally, you know, overcame it, and it was just crazy that, you know, they were able to film it and put it in a documentary. So for me, road tripping, those are my three spots: Grand Canyon, Arches National Park, and Yosemite. Yellowstone. Sorry, Yosemite. Sorry.
What?
Apparently those white claws are starting to hit.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. It's a mission between
white claws and fudge.
And fudge. I'm just really white fudged claw. Up. I'm trying to get unfudged, but my car is destroyed, so I'm a little fudged up.
Okay, Ricardo. Top three places within budget that you would want to go to, man.
Okay, so I'll say one of them, I would agree with Micah, is probably the Grand Canyon, and also along the same lines would be the Hoover Dam.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hoover Dam, Grand Canyon, I think they're very, not similar, but they're pretty close to each other. One of the reasons that I like the Hoover Dam a little bit more than the Grand Canyon is because there was a movie back in the day with Salma Hayek and the guy from Friends, I can't remember his name, but they made a movie where they hook up one night, right? And come to find out, she gets pregnant by this guy. So it was like a mixture. It's like one of the first movies that I remember seeing between biracial relations, right? So it was a Mexican. Obviously, Salma Hayek is Mexican, mm-hmm. and he's white. So it was like it was a mixture, right? It was kind of cool. I kind of liked it.
Right.
And one of the places where she goes is actually the Grand, not the Grand Canyon, but the Hoover Dam. And she starts talking about how how she finds so much peace there. You know, she goes there to like meditate, you know, kind of get herself together because her grandfather helped build that Grand Canyon a long time ago. Blah, blah. I can't remember how it went, but it was
the Hoover Dam, right?
Say again?
You said her grandfather helped build the Grand Canyon?
Yeah. So that's why she loved it.
Her grandfather helped build the Grand Canyon?
Not the Grand Canyon. The Hoover Dam.
Well, he did a little bit of both.
Yeah. He was, Yeah, he did both.
Native American descent. Spiritual.
So that's one of the reasons that the Hoover Dam and Grand Canyon are one that I would love to go. There's a place in Mexico called I honestly can't remember what it's called, but it's a really cool place because there's a lot of waterfalls and natural springs. The water is super clear to a point where it's like turquoise, mm-hmm. like greenish turquoise. Mm. Man, it is super beautiful. If I could remember what it's called, I would definitely say it, but I can't remember what it's called. Mm. My friend's going to Google it right now. That place is somewhere in Mexico, but I can't remember where it's at. So okay. That's another part.
I got you.
The last place in budget that I would go is Wyoming, right? So at the Yellowstone National Park, there is a place I've told Michael about. It. I think it's kind of like a suburb. I call it like a suburb of the Yellowstone. Yes, that one. What is it called? The Yellowstone. It's called like Uncle Tom's or Uncle something Uncle.
Okay.
And there is like yes, that's exactly what it is. I'll read it to you. Okay. So my friend Michael found it. Actually, it's called Las Grutas Hot Springs, Tolantongo, which is in Mexico.
Hot Springs of the Cow Tongue.
That's racist, but okay.
It's a little racist. No, but it's like a beautiful place. I mean, it's like a lot of waterfalls and natural springs and kind of like little mini hot tubs, they'll call it, right?
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. But the Wyoming one, there's a place where you're like, so... There is a lot of stairs that are kind of like made on the side of a mountain,
mm-hmm.
and you get to go down the mountain pretty much on the the stairs, and then which is a crazy crazy hike down those stairs down right. the mountain pretty much, and on like the on the view, there's a big ass fucking waterfall, and I love waterfalls, so I saw that on TripAdvisor,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it's called Uncle Tom's Trail on Yellowstone National Park. Man, you're good with Google. Right? You should be like, you're really good with Google. That's my third one. How about yourself, Mr. Josh?
All right, top three places. New York City for sure. Hear me out, nature boys.
We're not judging. We're not judging.
Out of every city that you could go to in the country, New York City essentially was the hub of where everybody knew coming into our country from Europe had to pass through. There's so much history within New York City. They have a huge art influence and theater, and there's just so much about it. And a part of me simply wants to go so I can simply say I've been to New York City. But there is something about New York City that I definitely want to experience. I want to say the Grand Canyon, but at the end of the day, it's just a hole in the ground. So,
but I think just like anything else, I think the pictures do not do it justice. I think you have to be there.
Agreed.
To fully like experience it. There's this type of majestic, I don't know.
Yes, no, I definitely agree with that. So number two would definitely be Grand Canyon, just because there's something about that.
What about the Hoover Dam?
It's a wall that's holding back water. It's just
they used it in James Bond.
I would go back to Alaska. Alaska was amazing.
Anchorage?
My brother was stationed just outside of Anchorage for a number of years, and I spent a couple weeks with him, and it was amazing. Like you walk out of a Walmart and there's mountain ranges in the distance. Like we're not talking rolling hills, we're talking snow-capped peaks of mountains on the other side of Walmart. It's beautiful. I would go back to Alaska in a heartbeat. So, New York City, Grand Canyon and Alaska. I'd go without a doubt. So, next, one place outside of your budget, where would you go? If money was not an option, where would you go?
So, me personally, I feel that, you're not asking me, but I'm going to tell you anyways. So, I think Dubai. Yeah, I think Dubai would be like one of the places where I feel like it's so touristy. It's so touristy and it's so like so high. Like it's very fashion.
I would call Dubai a trendy tourist city, over the top almost.
Yeah.
Because they want to be the best city in the world in terms of largest buildings. The amount of money, technology, cars, you know, people of status.
In geography, I know they got like a lot of man-made islands and stuff. So it's kind of, man, if they don't have it in Dubai, they don't have it anywhere else. You know, besides crime.
They should make a song about that, Ricardo.
Oh man, we can make it happen right now. We could definitely make it happen.
Okay, Micah, money's no object. Where are you going?
I'm going to Machu Picchu, Peru, man.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
You know, I've always been intrigued by ancient civilizations, and gosh, when it comes to Machu Picchu, like, just being hidden within a mountain range and you know, being created in the 15th century and still standing the test of time is just, it's wild for me to just, like, gather it's amazing, and I'm just so curious about, again, ancient civilizations and you know, the Inca royalty that made their way to this you know, hidden city. It's just, it's very intriguing. It's kind of like you know, Atlantis, but it actually exists.
Well, let me ask you this, Micah. I've seen some videos on Machu Picchu, right? And I know you are not that type of person that likes that, the touristy attractions. Do you think that if you were to go, you would enjoy it? Because I feel like there's so touristy now, you know what I mean? Just because a lot of people want to do. I mean, I would assume that in the past it was definitely like almost like a hidden treasure. Now it's, everybody knows about it, so I think that a lot of people will go, and it's almost like the Mackinac Island. It's like so touristy. It's a little off-putting a little bit.
Right. So, when it comes to tourism, you have a specific style of tourist. When it comes to Mackinac City, you have your basic Starbucks drinking, pumpkin spice, white girl, Ugg boot.
I love those.
Tourist, right? Very,
those.
Very basic. You know?
I love those.
Oh, I want to see this. I want to ride a boat. Oh, I was there. Here's my picture. Let me put it on Instagram.
You know, basic bitches.
When it comes to Machu Picchu, it's not something that you can simply take a boat experience. Mm. It's a 5-day hike.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. This isn't drop off, drive to, see a site, leave. It takes 5 whole days of trekking the mountain to get to this ancient city. And that's what kind of, you know, distinguishes that style of tourist from your basic white girl tourist.
I love white girl tourists.
So if you're willing to put in 5 days of hard work to see this hidden gem, I want to hike alongside you because you're in it for the real deal. You know there's something more. Mm-hmm. You're not just looking for the next Instagram post.
I love it.
That's beautiful.
So I haven't heard that that there is something spiritual about some of these places that, like you talked about, like Machu Picchu. There's a spiritual side. I mean, whether you believe on, you know, like, any type of like creator or anything like that, but there is, even the Grand Canyon, I heard that there's something very spiritual about it. It's really weird. It's something that you can't really.
You're confusing spirituality with religion. They're two very separate things.
I didn't even say religion, sir.
You said a creator automatically points to religion.
Or does it?
Yeah. Most people, when they hear the word creator, they jump to religion.
As one of our great leaders used to say,
Donald Trump,
our perspective is our reality. So if you believe creator ultimately equals religion, that is your reality. If you think creator as something higher, or you know, just an overall feeling or entity or just something greater than what we're doing, I don't know. It's up for debate. This could be another podcast, you know? I like the challenge you pose, Josh. I like that.
Okay.
I don't like it because I feel that I'm right.
Ricardo, all of our conversations could go that way.
That's very true. That's very true. No, I understand what you're saying. But okay, let me take back that word that I said. That's a religion.
Creator.
Let me take that back. That word back was creator. And say it's just a very spiritual feeling that a lot of people get, and I've heard that before.
That's fair.
With the Grand Canyon and some of these places where they're so nice, like it's just there's a really good feeling, which is doesn't have to anything to do with religion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What about you, sir?
Ireland. I would travel every inch of that place. If money was no concern, and honestly, a part of me would want to travel it by like horseback.
Do they have horses back in Ireland?
Yes. Dude, I mean, they don't have snakes, but they have horses. But no, just that idea, especially with all the images of Ireland that I've seen, coming over a green grassed hill and then seeing an old castle in the distance, and you're on a horse. How fucking sweet would that be?
So the only thing that I with Ireland, I feel like my perspective on this, granted my perspective is my reality, I automatically feel like there's a level of like, I think about cold and wet weather for some odd reason when it comes to Ireland.
Oh yeah, it rains all the time there.
Not saying that that's not a good thing, but I feel like it can be like a little bit of a negative thing at times. Oh,
see, yeah, again, it's that your perspective is your reality. Why do you think it's so green there? It's got to rain.
True.
No, Ricardo, I propose that in your free time to learn more about this great country of Ireland, which, you know, Josh hails from. And we should show our respect for such a great man and country. You need to watch a movie called The Boondock Saints.
Oh my God. That's such a fake Irish movie. Don't even get me wrong. Granted, I love that movie. It's so fake. If you're going to watch a good Irish movie, watch the movie Waking Ned Divine. That is the best fucking movie in the world.
I watched Irishman with Robert De Niro.
Doesn't count.
Does Shrek take place in Ireland?
He's Scottish.
Oh, gotcha.
Donkey. Yeah, I think Shrek. I mean, it'd be pretty cool to visit some of these countries like Ireland. I think it'd definitely be like you said, it'd be very hard to get there because I know it financially just a book of flight, I'm pretty sure it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, flight, you know, room and board and all that other stuff, at the end of it, it's a significant, it's a significant financial commitment. You know, so I think I could get there. It would take a lot longer than I would be comfortable with. And when I go there, I want to have some youth left in me. You know, I want to be able to actually traverse the island. So, all right, guys.
Where's that one place that you can go and kiss the bottom of a stone or something like that?
Not crap. I'm gonna miss the Bellarney Stone.
Like one last thing, Josh. Just real quick in regards to Ireland.
Go ahead.
And movie.
Yeah.
The Princess Bride. Did that take place in Ireland? Just because I'm curious. I think that Zorro in the movie climbed the cliffs of Moher.
Zorro?
Well, he was.
He's the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Oh, sorry.
Fuck's sake.
I don't know anything about Zorro. I mean, I do remember Zorro, but
The Princess Bride has Zorro in it.
No, it's the Dread Pirate Roberts. It's not Zorro.
No, did that take place in Ireland?
No, it took place in a fictional country.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, just wanted to clear that up. Thank you, gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Now I'm second guessing myself. Okay. Last question. Was everybody ready?
Is this like last but not least?
No. This is a pretty last one. So
definitive. Okay, yes. I got it.
Where is the absolute last place on Earth you would want to go? Ricardo, get us started.
I'll start on that one. So I feel like a lot of people wouldn't put this on there. I mean, I'm assuming there's a lot of countries that are in that category. I'm putting this country in particular just because I don't want it to sound like I'm being culturally insensitive.
Okay.
Because I'm very culturally woke. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not ethnic. That's what Micah just said.
Authentic
ethnic.
What?
The country that I would pick would be France. I have absolutely no desire to go to France.
Okay.
I feel like that country in general is a very posh place where I'm just like, I don't know. It doesn't, like, first of all, I like champagne, but not really because it's, I don't know, it's not. The Eiffel Tower, I think the Eiffel Tower is, in general was cool. You know, like, I've been to Las Vegas, and they have, like, a mini Eiffel Tower. I think it's kind of cool. But I will go back to almost saying that it's too touristy, where it's almost, like, even too touristy for me. And just French and people in general, there's nothing wrong with them, but I just don't understand them.
Now, speaking on France here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that'd be the last place you'd like to visit,
right?
Because of the tourism, the large Eiffel Tower, and the food. Because I know you really like baguettes and macaroons and crepes. You really like jelly-filled things, right?
Yes, no.
Cream-filled?
Hey-o! So that's another thing, too. I think that they're, like I said, going back to the posh aspect of it, okay? So I feel that when it comes to French food in general, I think that it's kind of like not – it's super, like, super fancy, and I don't like fancy, bro. Like, I'm Mexican. I like some street tacos. Hopefully, it's not made out of cat or dog. And if it is, I mean, it is what it is. As long as it tastes good, I drink. You know,
So just to clear this up, you do not want to go to France.
I do not want.
You do not want to go. Okay, gotcha. Last. Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Now, like I said, there are other countries that I feel that can be put in that category as well. Not because I feel that. The only reason I don't put that, the only reason I want to mention it is because I don't want to be categorized as somebody who is culturally insensitive, and I think French people get this whole like I'm holier than shit type of attitude. Unfortunately, no offense to the French people
here listening to us.
I love you guys, but you guys can be a little cuckoo sometimes. With all due respect,
you're trying to tell me that Napoleon ruined this for you?
Yeah, Napoleon did a number of things to me. Not to me, but
personally? Physically?
What?
Where did he touch you?
I'll get it down.
So just to recap, so I have an understanding.
Okay.
the French cuisine and style and overall persona is elevated to a level of excellence which you prefer to not identify with, because in simpler terms, you enjoy things that are not cream-filled, unless in your mouth.
Hey!
Yes, the last part, not so much, but yes, the French culture, it's a little high, too high, strong for me, for my taste, too culturally insensitive, too posh. I'm like, you know, I like to have 10 adores, adores.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
like we call them appetizers. Yeah. They call them hors d'oeuvres.
There you go.
Yeah.
I need a spoon for this, a fork for that, and, you know, we use skewers for our chicken rat fingers. Our chicken rat sticks. Anyways, that's all I have to say about that.
Micah, well, last place you'd want to go to, man.
Certainly. I guess I don't feel as strongly about a particular place as Ricardo does about France, because it's a beautiful language that they speak.
It's not that beautiful.
And we work with many French people. We saw a lot of French people today. But for myself, the last place or place I would prefer not to visit, you know, I'd have to be forced to go there, is probably China, guys.
Really?
I have no interest in China. The population is huge. They control their population. There's smog everywhere. They own us. Their food is garbage, unless it's American Chinese.
Ooh.
You know, kind of like Tex-Mex. You know, if I have real Chinese, I don't know if I could do horse or dog or you know, a coyote or rat on a stick, which Ricardo chooses to order every now and then for lunch.
Chicken rats.
They call it chicken, but it's rat on a stick. So yeah, for me, it would definitely be China. I see no appeal to, you know, a country that is just so overpopulated and unfortunately polluted.
What if you go to like the rural areas? Because I know there's a lot of places where you can go and you know, like mingle with the farmers and, you know, with the rice paddy.
Well, as our previous leader, which I pledge allegiance to, once said, China is responsible for this pandemic.
Whoa!
Specific to these rural communities, that's where it started and it was exposed. So I have a vendetta against China, as I pledge allegiance to the great leader Trump, who, by default, did not lose. He was forced out of office by a government that is so corrupt that he will be back in August because of election fraud and ballots that were thrown out.
Bamboo.
To all of our listeners, this is completely fictional, but yes, I would prefer not to go to China.
Really? I think, no, I think China, I would love to go to China. I feel like, so.
Because of the Great Wall?
Ooh, that's racist, bro. That's just, you just hit a nerve right there. No, I think China has a lot of history, beautiful history, a lot of killing, which is not that beautiful, I guess. Okay, but it has a beautiful history. I don't know. There's such a long history that I just, now granted, I think there's a lot of bad things that in China. I feel like there is a lot of unmoral things, a lot of unethical things that happen in China, both on the government side and as a person.
They eat dogs.
I was looking at a horse today and thinking that it looks really delicious. Even a seagull, a few times I looked at a seagull and said, you know what, this seagull looks like it would taste pretty good.
I'd taste a lot like chicken.
I was thinking that if I just got one, cut his head off, and took out the heart. Just ate the heart and a little bit of lime and chili sauce.
What? What are you even saying right now?
I was pretty tired, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I was really tired.
So hungry that he wanted to rip a seagull's head off and take the heart out of the live body without a head, season it with a little bit of lime and chili sauce, and ingest it to fulfill his hunger needs. And he is comparing that experience to China's desire and delicacy of eating dogs.
Exactly. No, I was really tired. We did 8 miles, 8 mile track, and I was really tired, and the sun was pretty hot. And this is not what I call vacation.
Uh-huh.
You know, my perspective, my reality.
For sure. Holy
so
shit.
From France to China, Josh, where do you lead us next in this wonderful world of places to not go?
In my own opinion, out of the ever-reaching areas of our earth, the last place I have any desire to go to, Las Vegas. I have zero desire to go to Vegas. The only time I want to see Vegas is in casino. That's it. But see, okay. That's from the comfort of my own home, watching a nice movie. That's it. Other than that, no desire. Zero.
And of worms.
You did. Luckily, we're not in the studio. You would see my face of disappointment right now.
He's very red. Vein is coming right out of his head.
So, can I ask you why, though? Like, have you been to Las Vegas?
I haven't. A part of that is because I have no desire to go there. It's in the desert. It's hot. It's bright and it's loud and it's all about money and cheap thrills. No offense, okay. I can get even cooler cheap thrills this much closer to home. It's like I don't need to travel across the country. I mean, even if the city itself was cool, once you're outside, you're still in the middle of the fucking desert. The only thing I want to do in the desert that I would travel for is to go to Burning Man. That has nothing to do with fucking Vegas. I have zero desire to go to Vegas. Zero. I'd rather go to Los Angeles or like San Francisco or something like that. No desire to go to. No desire to go to Vegas.
So, I hear what you're saying, right?
I don't think you do. Because I feel like you're about to tell me how I'm wrong.
You're not wrong, because your perspective is your reality. However, your reality is wrong. No, I honestly, so this is what happened, right?
Uh-huh.
The first time that I went to Vegas, I really didn't want to go to Vegas. I was like, eh, you know, I it sounds cool. My cousin wanted to go. He had already gone once because of his job.
Mm-hmm.
And then he invited me. I was like, yeah, I really don't want to go. I want to go to Florida. That's just because I already been there and I loved it. But honestly, once I got there, I mean, maybe it's because that same, we did a lot of drinking and not smoking weed or anything like that, but not that there's anything wrong with smoking weed, but you know, just smoking and drinking and just having a great time. I fell in love with that city. And it's not all about gambling. Like, the first time that I went, it was, like, basically, like, having a good time. A lot of sightseeing, a lot of drinking again. Just a cool time. To me, I enjoyed it. The second time, that one was a little bit more gambling because my cousins were and are addicted to gambling, and I'm not too much. But I was like, you know what? In the spirit of camaraderie, I want to... You know, be with you guys, so I'm going to gamble. And it didn't go so well for me because I lost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But, it just really depends on what you make of it, too. I mean, if you want to go out there and gamble your heart out, yeah, that's definitely the main attraction. Drinking, That's definitely an attraction. But to me, sightseeing is the better part of the Las Vegas adventure. That a lot of people don't see.
And Josh, I definitely shared the same viewpoint as you did. I've experienced Las Vegas on multiple occasions, very with my reservations, not wanting to go. But I'll leave you with this.
Got some knowledge on him, bro. Got some knowledge.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I've had some experiences that are held in my back pocket that I choose not to share.
Oh.
Because of a wonderful adventure that has happened in that great city.
I respect your experiences and opinions. That doesn't really change how I feel.
Josh, have you heard of the Bunny Ranch?
You're a bunch of heathens.
Have you ever had a selection of the finest women on draft at various prices that you can so choose?
But that's not Las Vegas, though. That's Reno. I think it's Reno. It's not Las Vegas. I mean, am I wrong?
I think we're missing the point here.
No, can I ask you this though, Josh? Now I know you're a father of two, a husband of one, that I know of.
that's a really weird way to say that.
I know, right? Do you think that if you were not married and had kids, do you think that it would kind of change your mind a little bit? Not in a 100 or 180. Yeah, not in a. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think that's kind of like holding you back a little bit because you are married and have two kids? No?
Okay. No. Totally irrelevant. I've never wanted to go to Vegas. It's been like, I've always wanted to go to places all around the world. Like, ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to go to certain places. Vegas has never been one of them. And I'm just like, no desire for Vegas.
Let me ask you this, guy. If I paid for you, your wife of one, and your kid of twos, would you go?
If somebody paid my way to Vegas, just because of the kind of person I am, I feel like I'd have to say yes and go. I probably would, but then that's on somebody else's dime. But at the same time, I wouldn't feel bad about not going or turning it down.
Now let me ask you this. One last thing before we go to break or whatever. I know when I first, not when I first met you, but when we first started going out, no.
What?
When we first started working together, you went to Disney World, and I feel like Disney World has a similar content, except for like the whole gambling aspect of it.
So
where it's fucking hot out there.
Did you seriously just compare Disneyland to Vegas, saying that they're the same other than the gambling?
Hold on.
Is that literally what you just said?
I'm going to my thought. Okay, so yes, I did. So it is very hot out there. It is super hot. Now granted, there is no desert out there, but it depends on where you go. I mean, if you go to like Orlando, there's no beach around, right? Am I correct? I don't know. But I don't remember any beaches around. I mean, there's beaches, but they're not beaches. It's very touristy, too. So there's a lot of things to look at, but it depends on what you want to see. I think it's kind of like there's more hype around it on a touristy aspect of it than it really goes to give you that experience.
Okay.
I forgot what my question was. So I guess my question was, I guess Do you think that the Disney aspect of it was the biggest call to you going over there?
Oh, yeah. And it was more of because I wanted to take my kids to Disney World.
Kids of two?
You know, I wanted them to experience, because I've gone to Disney World before and I had a great time. I wanted my kids to experience that. I wanted to take them and enjoy that same experience. Granted, it was a slightly different experience, but they still had a great time. And yeah, it was hot, but at the same time, it's different. There is definitely a difference between Disney World and Las Vegas.
Because honestly, you couldn't pay me enough to go back to Disney World,
and that's fair. I wouldn't pay you to go to Disney World,
right? I just, that place is overpriced, and you don't see any freaking characters. I wish you could see a little bit more characters, but that's just me. I'm just speaking out of my mind.
Nobody was in costume.
You would see once in a while, but it wasn't as much. It wasn't as what I would think. You know, like I would think that you would see more characters like throughout the place. But one, I mean, you don't. At least when I went, there wasn't that many. Like I saw the freaking Little Mermaid.
That's something they stopped a long time ago. Like I remember going as a kid, there were characters everywhere. Like you would run into characters constantly. But okay. I think that's just more of a with the times kind of thing that changed, where there aren't as many characters just roaming the park. They have their established, if you want to see this character, go here. If you want to see these characters, go to this part of the park. You know, stuff like that. So I think that's just more of an industry type thing. So there are plenty of characters there. Like when we were there, we saw all kinds of characters. Granted, we spent more time in lines to see characters than some of the shit we did.
That's funny.
But it was more about the experience with the kids for Disney.
Yeah, I think I agree on that one, because I think that even like now, like if my sister would invite me to go to Disney World with my nephews, I would go. Honestly, mm-hmm. I think I would go just because, first of all, I love Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just being over there, I think the touristy aspect of it, I think it's still pretty cool. I mean, not my favorite, but I still enjoy it just with the kids. You know, they're a little bit older, so they definitely can enjoy a little bit more than they did the first time.
For sure.
So what I've learned is Las Vegas, the city, is similar to Disneyland.
Exactly.
And those are two places that... we should not visit. Understood.
No, they're nothing alike. Holy fuck. If there are listeners who have an opinion otherwise, please share them with us because we'd love to hear them. All right, guys, we're going to take one last break and then we'll be back with our final five thoughts.
Ooh, final 5 minutes, not thoughts.
Something like that. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Hi, friends. Ian here. Do you enjoy atypical conversations about history? Do you like an occasional sip or three of whiskey? Then come on over to the Bar of Questionable Life Choices and join me for an episode of Why Whiskey. We're a history podcast with a whiskey problem. Or maybe we're a whiskey podcast with a history problem. We'll let you decide all that. On Why Whiskey, I'm often joined by guests as we cover historical events in America and around the world and the people that were involved. Throughout the show, we will taste a wide variety of whiskeys and share some knowledge about what it is that we are drinking. So if any of this interests you, come on up to the bar, grab a glass, and let's share some great stories. Cheers.
And we're back.
And we're black.
Where it counts.
That's what we're going to get sued for at some point. All right, folks. It's the final five for all three of us, where we take
five
minutes and we just share what's burning on our minds. Last week, when we had Micah go, he had Ricardo talk for his 5 minutes. So, Micah, I'm going to say, hey, it's your turn. I would appreciate if you actually talked for your last five instead of Ricardo.
Perfect. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Josh. Hopefully I'm given a platform to speak, and I do respect Ricardo's involvement in my segment, but today I would potentially like to have a few more minutes, but also collaborate with both of you. So, being up north right now and out of Kalamazoo, you tend to indulge a little bit more, specific with eating out, going to restaurants and fudging each other and unfudging. That nature. So I am just so bothered and unsettled by the customer service that we have been receiving, specifically with a younger generation or people that are our age. And just the lack of acknowledgement or you know, customer service skills.
Okay.
That's really been bothering me. But what I will say, we had this out-of-body experience today at the local Big Boy, the one and only that still exists in this great state.
Okay.
And I feel terrible. I forgot her name, but she was the sweetest old lady that could have possibly served us, and she essentially took any bad experience that I've had so far, erased it out of my mind, and left me with the best phrase that I will use for a lifetime. Thank you, you're welcome, yes.
Thank you, you're welcome, yes?
Yeah, it's a long phrase. It's a complicated phrase, but it's meaningful. And why it's meaningful is it because it came from this lady. Whenever she drops something off, and I would say thank you, she would respond with, thank you, you're welcome, yes. It wasn't as simple as you're welcome or, you know, here you are, good friend. It was a thank you, you're welcome, and yes. And I cannot tell you how many times she repeated that phrase, and it stuck with me. But I will say, her customer service was exceptional.
Yes, exquisite.
Exquisite. At the local Big Boy. Of course, the food was subpar, but, you know, that's out of her hands. But she did deliver satisfactory, exceptional, thank you, you're welcome, and yes, service. And to even build off of that, we went to the local Walmart on this trip. And on that trip, we ran into the nicest old man. I was looking for trail mix. I was struggling. I asked, what aisle is this in? He told me what aisle it was in. And as I proceeded to walk to that aisle, he said, sir, stop. How about you walk the other way and hang a right, then hang a Louie? And I did that, and I found the trail mix. And after that, me and Ricardo made our way to the checkout line. This man and his customer service skills, he went above and beyond that. He acknowledged and he asked us a second time, did you find the trail mix? He took the heat, man. He empathized. He acknowledged and he was there. He took care of us. So the great old population that we are paying our tax money for and their social security and retirement, thank you for delivering customer service, because our youth has not gained, nor will they ever gain, the skill, because the health care, social security, retirement services that our government provides will no longer be there. But the old people, thank you for being you.
Can you? Yeah, whoa, you sound like a politician.
That was beautiful.
I don't know if I can really even start to even sound anything like that, but can you talk on how the service was previous to that with the younger couple, or not young couple, younger bar attendant?
Okay, so we've gone into a few bars. Specifically last night, we wanted to get some late night food. With that, We go into this bar. We sit at a table. We were not acknowledged for 7 minutes. I decided to take it upon ourselves to go to the bar. Stood another 5 minutes there, waiting to be acknowledged. Granted, this bar is in Mackinac City at 11 o'clock. All the old people are asleep, so nobody was out partying.
Right.
There were maybe 20 people in this bar that could had a capacity of probably 500, and we were not acknowledged. And when I was acknowledged, it was just a, hey. It was not, how are you? How can I help you? What can I get you? And I proceeded to say I would like 2 Labatt Blues, and is your kitchen open? No. Okay. Was that a no to the kitchen not being open? Or was that a no to the Labatt Blue?
Okay.
Then I said I would like Labatt Blue in a bottle. He questioned my decision and said, we have Labatt Blue on draft and in a bottle. I just asked it for in a bottle. Well, we have it on draft. And in my head, I said, fuck it. Just give it to me on draft. I am tired of dealing with you. And then he gave us the beers. Proceeded to walk around the bar, mingle with his friends or whomever, his regulars, blocked me out. I held 2 beers for approximately a minute and 30 seconds as he had a conversation just so I could sit down and give a refreshing beverage to my good friend Ricardo. Gosh, man, customer service with the young people.
That's rough. Man,
it's just tough. Why aren't we acknowledged? And even being back in the island today, like, we had another experience, specifically Ricardo. Like, we sat down. I kind of felt like they looked at us funny and, you know, didn't really give us the time of day. Then the server came over, asked if we were ready. Okay. But then she left. Then she came back and asked if we're ready. Ricardo proceeds with a food order. And she said, no, drinks. Like, literally cut him off and said drinks. But in that exchange, she came to me, asked what I wanted, and I provided a drink, and then she asked me for food as well. So I was thrown off by the whole fucking situation.
Holy shit.
Was it supposed to be a drink order only and then food later, or was it going to be food then a drink? I was confused.
It almost made me feel like like, she didn't want to take her food order. So I for a second there, I thought that, like, oh shit, like, can we not order food anymore? Or, you know what I mean? Like, just the way she kind of, like, stopped me on my whatever I wanted to order and shit. It's just, like, it's kind of rude. But I will say, though, she did make it up a little bit where she was kind of nice about it afterwards.
She saved face a little bit. But Ricardo is being, I think, a little overly generous. Sorry, I'm laughing as he walks away. We hiked 8 miles today on foot, mind you, where everyone else took a bike. We decided to use our feet.
Right.
She attempted to save face, but she failed the second time. She forgot to put our food order in, and she blamed it on the kitchen taking a while.
Oh,
and then she
offered
us shots or, you know, a few drinks. And, you know, obviously we you know, asked for some drinks, and I'm assuming she took them off the bill because
Ricardo hope so
just to pick up the tab. But yeah, that's 2 knocks, right?
Yikes.
She cuts him off. We're barely acknowledged. She forgets to put in the food orders, tries to save face with free drinks, and I mean, after that it was all right. But I'm just curious, what kind of vibe am I giving off?
Right.
What kind of vibe is Ricardo giving off? But the thing is, it's not only when I go out with Ricardo. When I go out with other people, specifically male friends,
mm-hmm.
I get shitty service. Or let's say I go out on my own. It's pretty shitty. But if there's a attractive female with me or something of the likes, regardless of if the server is female or male, you typically get better service. I'm just curious, what am I doing wrong? Why am I giving off a vibe that I deserve to be treated shitty when I'm offering you money at a shitty, mediocre establishment?
No, let me ask you this. You think that maybe your expectations are a little too high?
Possibly because I worked years in the fine dining realm of the restaurant industry, but I've also worked at a lot of mediocre restaurants. And honestly, I just treat people how I want to be treated. And I guess when you're in a server role or taking care of a customer, you kind of need to be a certain person. You need to be able to read a situation and you know, be genuine, be kind, and cater to the customer and be helpful. Don't start with that negative energy. No. Yeah, sorry, I'm going on a rant. I've ran out of 5 minutes. I've lost my complete train of thought. Basically, I was fudged. I'm unfudged. Now I'm confused. And I just hope that we make it back to the great land of Kalamazoo. Okay. Sorry, guys. That's my Ricardo, take the floor from here.
Sounds good. My turn, guys?
Yeah, go, man. Go.
All right. So, so I've been reading for some odd reason, I came upon a Reddit post. It wasn't the actual Reddit post itself. It was kind of like one, I think on Facebook, where there is this gentleman who was at the gym, a gym buff, you know, a gym rat, I'd say.
Okay.
And, so he was, what he was doing is he was actually like lifting weights and recording his gains, because you know, as a athlete, when you're doing a lot of repetitions, you want to kind of note it on your notebook, your repetitions, so that way next time you come back, you know where you're at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now being 2021, you use your phone, your iPhone, your Samsung, your whatever, your BlackBerry. If you do have BlackBerry, which you shouldn't, but that's another story, another podcast. Now, the weird thing is that this gentleman was working out right behind a female, or that's a female, who was doing squats. Now, he kind of made it funny to where he was saying that. That he looked and she was wearing some very scandalous leggings without any undergarments, but that was besides the point based on his post. But essentially what ended up happening is that he got accused of by her of actually taking pictures of her of her working out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you know she confronted him in a kind of a really negative way. And so eventually, the gym staff asked them, like, hey, can we check your pictures? Like, no, you cannot check my pictures. Those are my pictures. You know, you have no right to look into my privacy. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that if she felt that way, it's cool. Check the cameras and see if, you know, if it looked like I was taking pictures. And based on what they actually kind of came up with, the gym staff is actually, they looked over the cameras and said, like, hey, based on what we tell, like, he was not taking pictures of you. The way he had his phone, it was not anything like that where he was taking pictures at all. But it was kind of weird because actually even his girlfriend talked to him afterwards, like, why don't you just show him a picture? Like, well, I do have some naughties on there, and I don't want people to be seeing my shit, and, you know, it's not their business, you know? And then, ironically, I saw this TikTok, and I know we're going to go back to TikTok, where there was this lawyer who was kind of talking about that a little bit, where she was saying that, yeah, she wouldn't feel comfortable anybody taking pictures of, because there was another incident kind of similar to that. It was actually at a pool where this female, she goes over there to confront a guy who was supposedly taking pictures of her in a very scandalous swimsuit. And she was saying, like, yeah, like, I wouldn't feel if my daughter was being taken, if somebody took pictures of my daughter like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if she, this is her words, not mine. But if she was wearing something scandalous like that, then you're kind of asking for that type of,
Just uttered a very dangerous phrase, my friend.
No, that's not me. That's not me. That was her. Okay, that don't look at me like that. And what she was saying is that, and I know what you're saying. What she was saying is that if you're wearing that scandalous, you're asking for a little bit more attention that you shouldn't. Like, whether I agree with that or not, that's not my my thing. Now she said that being in a public place, you know, like they have the person who took the picture has the right to do that because you're in a public place. Whether you agree with that or not, it's a legality wise, they have the right to do that. And yeah, I think the funny thing is when we're coming up here, like I was talking to my mom, ironically enough, and she was asking if it was raining, right? And I took out my phone and I started recording a little bit, and as soon as I started recording a little bit, I was about to record, there was this female that passed by. I was like, oh shit, you know. She was a good looking, you know, female. And I felt really fucking weird because I was like, hopefully she doesn't think I'm recording her, because I really wasn't. I was recording like the just showing my mom that it wasn't raining, you know. And it's just kind of weird how it all kind of like it was weird how it all came back together. So yeah.
I got you,
Micah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, kind of get a better understanding. So when I'm at the gym or someone's at the gym, if I so choose to wear a Speedo, and someone decides to snap photos because I'm flaunting my hairy legs, it is okay for them to do so because I am drawing attention because of the scandalous Speedo and hairy legs that I am showing out.
Well, okay, so going back to what I said, is like not necessarily that I agree with it, right? Now I understand that there's a difference between legality and ethically, right? So legally you might be able to do that, where because you are in a public place, right? Ethically or morally you probably shouldn't, because if that makes people feel uncomfortable, if it makes you feel uncomfortable if somebody's snapping a picture of you, then, you know, vice versa, you shouldn't be able to take a picture of somebody who's and being in that type of swimsuit and that Speedo does not give somebody the right or the, I guess, shouldn't give somebody the motive to take a picture of you. That's just because that's how you're dressed, you know what I mean? That's just on an ethical perspective.
But innately, within us as humans, if you're attractive and have very hairy legs and decide to put a Speedo on, innately, your human nature and your eye is drawn to my hairy legs,
right?
And your hand subconsciously grabs your phone and snaps a picture. That's okay. I'm on board with that. No worries. So I'm okay.
So you're okay. You're okay with me taking a picture of you, your hairy legs?
I'm acknowledging that it's out of your control because of how nice they are. And it's just innate within you for your human tendencies to be drawn to my hairy legs. So I'm giving your subconscious a free pass, but at the end of the day, I think you know morally what's right and wrong, and maybe it's not best that you snap a picture of my legs.
Very fair statement. Very fair statement.
Josh, I'm not too sure how to transition. I apologize for my hairy leg talk.
Oh, we're good.
But I think Ricardo does bring up a valid point. You know, when you wear a certain scandalous outfit, if you're an attractive individual, yeah, it's going to draw some attention.
Now, do they have the right to look at you over your phone, though? That's a question. Because it goes both ways, right? So if you want that privacy not to be taken a picture of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the right to not? Okay, so do they have the right to look at your stuff, your private stuff, where vice versa? You know what I'm saying, right?
Me personally, if I was taking videos of myself in order to record my gains, and there was a misunderstanding, if I was purposely taking pictures of a woman who is dressed in very tight form-fitting athletic clothing, I would have no problem handing over my phone. I don't care what of my personal shit on there. I'd be like, hey, there is shit on there that, you know, isn't for you, but if it's going to clear this whole situation up right now, go right ahead. I'll unlock my phone for you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one. I don't know why he made it a big deal.
Because I mean, everybody makes everything a big deal nowadays. Nothing is never not a big deal.
Well, because even his girlfriend was saying, like, why don't you just let her look at your stuff? I mean, the Raw has some naughty stuff on it. Like, well, I mean,
now, quite honestly, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I would say quite honestly, I think that yeah, maybe not everybody would be able to see that, but I would definitely let the gym staff or like the management of the staff say, like, hey, I can only show you, and you're the only one that's gonna see these pictures or these videos, or whatever. Just to keep my name, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I under no circumstances would have handed my phone to the gal in question. I'd be like, no, I'll give it to some of the staff. They can look over it, and then they can determine if I was taking pictures of you or not.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of weird how he made a big deal, because he said even his girlfriend was like, he said, just handed the phone over. And if you didn't have anything to hide, then you know. Because he really, based on his thing, he really wasn't really taking pictures. He was just kind of like, you know, kind of doing his reps and just kind of writing it down, you know, like based on the reps and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think he just kind of made it worse for himself.
Oh, yeah.
Which, but I guess I could see a little bit of his point where, like, dude, I wasn't doing shit, so why the fuck do I gotta, you know, why do I have to, you know, show approval of something that I didn't do? You know what I mean? It's kind of, I can see his part a little bit, but you
also got to see the other side. He could easily have been taking pictures of her, and just wanted to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But in general, I mean, if you are in public,
Is a gym a public place or a private business? There's a difference. Yeah,
it's a private public place. It's a private public.
It's a private business. A public place would be like a beach. So if you want to take a picture of a chick in a scandalous bikini at the beach, technically speaking, they can't do anything because it's private. It's public property. You can do whatever you want. Well, essentially, you can take pictures of whatever you want. You can say, I was taking pictures of the water behind you. But when you're in a gym, a privately owned business, I think that's where the stuff can get a little muddy.
Yeah, I guess I can see how it can get a little muddy, but I think at the end of the day, it's still like, even though it is a privately owned business, it's still, in a sense, a public gathering. You know what I mean? So you're unfortunately liable for that type of, you know, depending on how you want to dress. I guess it doesn't make it right, but it's understandable to a certain degree, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So Josh, let me ask you, you got 5 minutes. I'll probably give you 7 because you've been acting pretty good today. What is burning on your mind today?
Especially like a day like today. I am so thankful that I have central air. Let me tell you, at one point in time during the day, it wasn't terribly hot. It was just muggy. And even central air cuts out mugginess. So I started sweating at a certain time of the day, and it didn't stop until I got home. And then the coolness of my house just swept over me, and I was like, that's better. Let me tell you, there is just something magical about central air that I didn't get at my last house because we didn't have central air. We had one window unit in the living room. So it was rough going there for a bit. So now the fact that we have central air, I sleep so comfortably, and well, the rest of the world melts away. So today, for some reason, central air is just my best friend today. It was amazing.
It's kind of weird just to think about one of the things that I was telling Micah today. Like, I heard on the way back, we were saying how privileged it is to be able to go and be on vacation. Because, yeah, I mean, we might look at it as a very normal thing to do, but at the end of the day, not everybody has that privilege. And I think it kind of goes on hand in hand with AC. I mean, yeah. Not everybody has that ability to, when they're hot, go into a fucking cold room.
Oh, no. I mean, like, I grew up without air conditioning. So, like, You would think that I'd be used to it by now, but as I got older, I was just like, man, this is just more and more miserable. I just can't do it. And today was just a beautiful reminder of how awesome it is to have something that cools my entire house down, where I can just comfortably just relax, have a tasty beverage, and just put my feet up and read a book or take a nap. I even have a fucking ceiling fan in my bedroom, so not only is it cool, I get a nice little breeze with it. It's magic.
I know about that ceiling fan.
Yeah. What?
What?
Well, little did you know, Josh, Ricardo had a little rendezvous in that bedroom, and he left a sock on the fan that may be swirling around, so you may want to take a deeper look at it. But getting back to the much more important topic, central air, that's a game changer, man. Oh, yeah. That's awesome that you have that. I grew up without it. We have window units, but central air is like a game changer to the whole house cooled versus a window unit and a specific room and hoping that air flows to the other parts of the house. It really doesn't happen. But central air, fucking game changer, man. I grew up without it, but my mom's place and my dad's place, they have central air now, and it's quite nice. Now, for myself, I'm underprivileged, and I still use two window units, one in my bedroom, one in my kitchen, but thankfully I rent a small house and it sufficiently cools it. But if I had central air, I would be indulging and relaxing with, not with you, Josh, but like you. Mm-hmm. And potentially Ricardo may have a rendezvous in my room, and there may be a sock left on the fan. Who knows?
It happens. I mean, the funny thing is the sock, you know, I confused it with, you know, my son's sock. Because, you know, it was so small.
I say, man, I even got little feet. I might have little ankles, but I don't have little feet.
All right, guys. We're going to wrap this up. So, hearing about your guys' adventures, I will say definitely, I hope you guys make it home all right. Be safe. If you have to take a break, give that car a break so you can actually make it home safe. Be sure to do that.
True.
Listeners, please keep in mind and keep them in your prayers, because they may not make it home. We want them to be safe. Yes. So, all right, folks. That's it for us tonight.
I do not hate French people.
Yes, he does. And all right, we're out of here. We'll see you next week. Hey, you're still here. The podcast is over. I think it's awesome that you're still here, but I mean, there's no more. That's it. But I figure, since you're here, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Instagram at Warehouse Rats, or you can go to anchor.fm/warehouserats, or if you really, really wanted to go the extra mile, you can even start supporting us on Anchor. Just throwing it out there. But it's really over now. See you next week.